You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord, I pray that you would speak to us now in a way that our hearts can understand. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I confess to you this morning that I would have liked to have begun this sermon with a lighthearted comment about this being Trinity Sunday and Father's Day and the final round of the U.S. Open being played at a wonderful classic golf course in Pittsburgh called Oakmont Country Club. If the convergence of those three things happening at the same time being a sort of holy trinity in and of itself. And that was funnier than I thought. I was going to say, it wouldn't be very funny, but I'm disproven. St. Paul has much to say to us this morning. Thus, I will begin this sermon with a single verse from Paul's letter to the Romans, which you have before you in your bulletin, Romans 5, chapter 1, which says the following. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just last week, I heard someone say in relation to this verse, Romans 5, 1, well, that's the thing. That's the thing that people most want in life. They want peace with God. That's the thing they most long for. And while I agree with that, and while I think that's mostly true, what I think is even more true, or perhaps even more immediate, is that in our daily lives, what we want most in life is peace with ourselves. We long for peace with ourselves. We want to look at our lives and we want to have peace with it. And I want to be clear, this is not a humanist sermon. I have zero intentions of four steps to peace with yourself from me, of all people. And God has everything to do with having peace with ourselves. And we're going to talk about that. But that's where I want to begin today, in terms of what we want, in terms of what we desire. We want peace with ourselves. We want peace in our lives. Now, why is that? We want peace with ourselves for the very simple but very brutal fact that you know what it's like when you don't. You know how unbearable that can be. You have been to that horror show, and you have the receipts. You know what it's like to go around and around and around and around in your mind about a big mistake that you made last month or last year or 20 years ago. You have 3 a.m. thoughts that won't let you sleep when you're on a knife's edge about your doubts or your losses or your griefs. You may know what it's like to really miss it big as a parent. You may know what it's like to feel like you are the disappointment in your family. You may know what it's like for everyone else in your pledge class to have wonderful jobs and wonderful careers, and somehow you've been stuck. Or why does your neighbor have perfect kids and your kids didn't get into the college they wanted to, and that must be on you as a parent. Because it's always the failures, this is a universal truth, it's always the failures and the missteps and the mistakes that stick out in our minds. And that's universal. If you're human, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever lived in a time where you felt trapped in your own experience? So the first point that I would like to make to you this morning, it's the antithesis of what St. Paul says here, which is everyone, and I mean everyone, every person who has ever walked the earth has the desire to justify themselves, to prove or to show to be just or right or reasonable before God, before others, and before yourself. I would ask you, think about asking Adam or Eve or Moses, ask St. Peter, ask St. Paul, ask Tiger Woods, ask Will Fagan, ask Martin Luther, ask Demi Lovato, ask Cher. Every person, without exception, has the desire to prove that they are worth it as a human being, that they are living up to what they should be living up to. Because if I prove myself, then maybe maybe I'm worthy of being loved and accepted by the people that I most want to be loved and accepted by, because if I'm loved by them, then perhaps, just perhaps, then I can love myself, then I can have peace with myself. Now, this is true. This is true and most crucial to this sermon, most especially in terms of our relationship with God. And we do have a standard for proving ourselves as to be worthy before God. It's been given to us. It's called the law. To be loved before God is to follow God's law perfectly. To be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. No one ever has that one tattooed on their wrist, by the way. It's usually a verse that's a little more inspirational than that. To be loved by God is to follow his law perfectly, predominantly as seen through the Ten Commandments. At my church growing up, in the youth room, on an old cinder block wall were painted 90s mural style, the Ten Commandments stylized God's rules with a Z on the end. And some creative license as to how that was written. And we would go through them one by one to see how well we were doing as a teaching measure, to strive to do them. And I remember reading them and hearing them and feeling optimistic about my ability to follow them, to be good for God so that he would love me. And also while thinking with some pretty specific examples as to how I was not doing that. So love, L-U-V, love God only. I would read that, if I'm honest, I know that I perhaps love other things, most of all myself, more than I love God. So commandment one, fail. Don't take God's name in vain. I agree, should not do that, but I definitely did when the Fort Payne first baseman hit a home run 30 feet into the woods behind our field to go up 5-0 in the third inning. Don't lie, not doing that. Honor my father and mother. Would love to say I do, but they're sitting right there. They can tell you stories. Keep the Sabbath, no. Do not covet, no. So now this is a reflection from the mind of a teenager, but how many of us walk through life believe that God is disappointed in you? How many of us walk through life feeling that way? And as a result, you don't have peace with yourself, not in that area. You have no peace with yourself, especially here. Now, we seek to justify ourselves before God, parentheses, and we can't, close parentheses. And we also, perhaps equally, perhaps more, want to justify ourselves before other people. And we do this in 1,000 different ways, to live in the right neighborhood, to be in the right Greek house, to have the right job. I wanted, when I was 13 years old, in the wintertime, to have a North Face jacket. You remember the one that I'm talking about. And everyone had a North Face jacket. And my sweet mother got me a Columbia jacket. And was I grateful? I was about 80% grateful. And I was about 20% embarrassed. We seek to justify ourselves before others, parentheses, and we can't, close parentheses. At least, not fully. It's just never enough. And we know this. And finally, we want to justify ourselves to ourselves, which perhaps is the most cruelest of all. Because after all, we do, or we once did, have dreams and goals and visions and ideas of what our lives should look like, what our own performance should look like to ourselves. Perhaps you wanted to take your family company to the next level, and it's sputtering. Or you wanted to change the world, or at least your little corner of it. And sometimes we've gotten the life we wanted. Sometimes we've done the thing that we've wanted to do. We've achieved the things that we've wanted to achieve. But other times, we're up at 3 in the morning and wondering, what happened? Where did all the time go? So we seek to justify ourselves before God. We seek to justify ourselves before other people, and we seek to justify, as I say, perhaps most cruelly, we seek to justify ourselves to ourselves. So there's only one thing that I can say to you now. There's a single thing that I can say. You're not trying hard enough. That's a joke. And that's not true. But you are trying hard enough. I messed that one up. But this is true. This is what I have heard. I have often heard something to the fact of, I feel closest to God in the deer stand. Or I feel closest to God at the lake. Or I feel closest to God on my pilgrimage on the Camino de Santiago, especially at the Parisian trailhead. That's where I feel closest to God. And those are all gifts. And those are all wonderful. And I love all of those things, or at least I love that you love them. I've only been deer hunting one time. And one day I will walk on the Camino. But what I've noticed, this is what I've noticed. What I've noticed, both in Scripture and in life, and this is my second and final point as I close, is that people feel closest to God in their hour of need. When they have run out of road, when they have, the lamp stocks have run out of oil, when God's people were conquered by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians and then the Greeks and then the Romans that conquered them, and they were saying, who will deliver us? When you're Elton John in 2001 singing, I want love, but it's impossible. A man like me, so irresponsible, a man like me who's dead in places while other men feel liberated, I want love. Because it is in one's hour of need, when it is 3 o'clock in the morning, and when the movie's on in your mind, and you feel like you are this tall, and you just don't want the sun to come up and face the day, when the Holy Spirit will whisper in your ear, you have been justified. You are an object. You have been justified through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you that faith in the first place. And you, yes, you are loved by the author of creation, by the author of your creation. And the peace that has eluded you is here. Father, we seek to justify ourselves in a myriad of ways before you, before others, and before ourselves. We thank you that you have justified ourselves through Christ by faith that has been given to us, and that the Holy Spirit has poured your love into our hearts that we might know you, that we might be loved by you. We pray this all in Christ's name and for his sake and for our good. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.